Institute of Marriage and Family Canada released a new report. Given Ontario's deficit of $16 billion, the recent news that OLG is looking to expand in Ontario was actually no surprise. The report is called Government, Gambling's Biggest Addict. And our guest is Derek Medema from the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Thank you so much for joining us today, Garrett. Derek, I know you were expecting Gary, but you got me instead.
Oh, that's just fine. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about this report.
Well, this report looks at, it illustrates the fact that governments, provincial governments across Canada are addicted to gambling revenue and offers a recommendation for how to get them out of it.
Okay, so how do we get out of it?
Well, first of all, I'd like to look at the depth of the addiction.
Sure.
Gambling in Canada, on top of all the taxes that Canadians pay, and we found as part of the paper that in Canada the average family already pays more in taxes than they do for food, clothing, and shelter combined. Okay. If I take the total revenue of gambling in Canada last year and divide it by the number of adult Canadians over 18, I get $534 on average from every Canadian adult.
Okay.
Now, I realize that not everyone gambles, so this this shows the fact that even more money is spent by gambling addicts.
Right.
And research from Alberta shows that whereas the average population in Alberta has a 2-3% rate of gambling addiction, the biggest spenders, the 6% biggest spenders in Alberta, 40% of them are gambling addicts.
So we 40%?
40%. Yep. 40% of the top 6% of highest spenders have a 40.6% rate of gambling addiction.
Wow.
Compared to 2-3% in the population as a whole. Governments are addicted, and we can see that in a couple of ways. They minimize the damage that gambling causes in terms of problem gambling. They don't even look at that when they're going to expand. They protect their monopoly. Only still in Ontario with all of these changes, you won't be able to operate a gambling anything to do with gambling if you don't have the government's blessing to do so. And it's clear that they can't quit because they're going farther and farther and farther down the road. In Ontario, we're looking to put a new casino in Toronto and possibly Ottawa. We're looking to move slot machines outside of just being at racetracks, make lottery tickets more accessible by selling them in grocery stores and online.
Yeah.
So all of these show the fact that gambling, that governments are in fact addicted. Now, the one recommendation that I make that has to do with this is that profits from gambling be put exclusively toward deficit and debt elimination.
Where does it go now, though?
Right now, the government takes the lion's share of that money and uses it to operate government services as well as fund various other charitable organizations. But the numbers show that all the other things that governments do with gambling money are just a drop in the bucket. We know that as a percentage of the total profits that British Columbia took in, for example, 12% went to charities and nonprofits. In Ontario, 6.6%. In Quebec, 2.6%. In Nova Scotia, 2.9%. So the vast majority of dollars are still going to government coffers. And there they do fund important things in Ontario, but the alternative that I would see what would be accomplished by instituting this would be that gambling profits are no longer seen as a cash cow.
Okay.
Governments have got into this, the Ontario government has got into the situation, obviously, or not just the current government, but past governments combined, by profligate spending way more than they're bringing in.
Way more. They're spending more, assuming that they're going to make that money back in the gambling area. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, they're viewing it as a cash cow because gambling in Ontario started under the NDP, Bob Rae, in the early 90s when we were in fiscal straits. And now the next huge expansion happens now under the McGuinty government when we're also in financial straits.
Right.
what moving this money out of the government coffers would do is it wouldn't allow governments to see that as something they can grab and expand and gouge in order to raise more revenue. The win for that is that whether gambling profits drop or rise, it's all going towards paying down the principal on our debt and our deficit. It'd be helping to eliminate the deficit earlier.
Okay, so if the government decides to take your recommendation and apply that to our deficit, yes, our deficit will go down. But doesn't that affect our charities? Doesn't it affect what they've already subsidized our with that money?
Well, and I think we need to realize in this point on this point that in Ontario, gambling profits, the $2 billion that the Ontario government took in from Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation, mm-hmm. represents about 2% of their total revenue in a given year.
Sorry, I'm just trying to work out the numbers, Derek. Yep. Help me understand. So the $2 billion that is given to the guy is only 2% of the profit?
Well, it's 2% of all the revenue that the government of Ontario takes in a given year in terms of tax revenue and all the different
revenue
that they take in.
Okay, gotcha.
So it would take a 2% cut in overall spending to make up this money and be able to find this money within current government. You know, if they cut somewhere else, they could find the money to continue to fund the charities, to continue to fund everything they funded through gambling revenue.
Wow.
And so this is a case where not only would we be stopping them from seeing gambling as a way to solve financial problems on the back of problem gamblers, but it would also be a push for them to cut their spending instead of continuing to spend more and more and more. And I think if we look at this in perspective, you know, if you're in a family situation and mm-hmm. the family discovers there's a problem gambler, they cut off their access to credit cards, debit cards,
right.
bank accounts, line to credit, give them a cash allowance. We can't do that to the provinces, of course. But in this case, what the government is doing is saying, we've run up the debt on one credit card. Now give us another one.
Wow. You know what? You have a point there. Like you said, if there's a gambling problem within a family, you take away all access.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You can't take away that from the government. I wish we could. Don't you wish? Derek, that's what you guys should work on. The next research, how do we take away the government's credit card? But this is one way you're suggesting.
Yeah, well, and you know, from that perspective of what would happen in a family, taking away 2% of total government revenue in a given year is, you know, at the very, very least, maybe a slap on the hand.
Right.
And it behooves the government in trying to wrestle down the deficit to put solid money towards it, but also to cut spending.
Right. Were you surprised by the announcement or the recent news that the OLG was looking to expand in Ontario?
Not surprised in the sense that I knew that it had been floated that they wanted to put a casino in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised in the sense that we saw this happen the last time Ontario was in such financial straits.
Right.
And governments don't want to raise taxes, but as I said, they're basically taking another $500 from your pocket every year on average. And they don't want to raise taxes. They see gambling as something that they can do without any political price, and they also totally overlook the social costs.
Yes, yes. That I find the numbers staggering. Like, I can't get over how much gambling money comes into the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really, well, they do pay out, I guess, somewhat in the gambling addiction when people go to get help. Do they not pay into that right now?
Well, here's the numbers for the four provinces again. As a percentage of their profits,
right.
British Columbia spends 0.5% on gambling addiction and treatment. Ontario, 2.6%, Quebec, 2.3%, and Nova Scotia, 4.7%. So again, less than a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. Why is British Columbia spending so much less? Do they have a lesser number of people with gambling problems, or is it just they have lesser places to gamble, or they're making less money. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure as to why. I ran the numbers. I know that it's just in this case, in terms of running the numbers, it shows that the amount they're spending is much lower, because they're making just over half of what Ontario took in, and yet they're spending so much less as a percentage that it is a lot lower.
Wow.
It's dramatically lower than the rest. But even all the rest, you know, you're looking at a most of less than 5% of profits going to gambling addiction and treatment.
So, and now they're going to increase the accessibility for gamblers. So do you think we're going to see an increase of gambling addiction?
Well, the research doesn't bear out that there's an absolute cause and effect in terms of expansion and increases, but when we move into online gambling, and as they're looking at getting that onto smartphones and tablets, it means that the external limit of having to drive in Ottawa, having to drive to Lac-Lémy in Quebec, or where's your nearest slot machine or casino in Kitchener? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we've got a number of them. There's the Windsor, the big casino in Windsor. We've got a few like at the raceways and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have to drive to the raceway or to Windsor, and you wouldn't have to go to the grocery to the corner store to buy your lottery tickets. You can buy those online, but you can also gamble online, and you don't have to log into your home computer to do that. You don't have to be at home. You could be waiting for the bus or you know, waiting somewhere in line to get your license renewed, and you'd be on your iPhone or your smartphone or your tablet, and you could gamble away.
I mean, maybe getting a little bit sidetracked here just because we're talking about the gambling, but don't people do that now? I mean, we know we can gamble online with poker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're suggesting, what kind of gambling can you do online on your smartphone?
Well,
like slot machines? Like what?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to bring, but as they move on to online gambling, they're going to certainly make it as attractive as possible.
Right.
And the reality of the government moving in is, you know, all the rest are quote-unquote illegal. Mm-hmm. And when the government comes in, it's legal.
Yeah.
And that lends an air of almost morality to government-sponsored, because if the government-sponsored, you know, you'd almost think then that if the government sponsored, you're at less risk of getting fleeced than you are by an overseas.
Right.
Something overseas.
Right.
But they're in it as much as a private interest to maximize profits.
Well, it's no different than a slot machine.
No.
Yeah, it pays out every once in a while, but the bottom line is that they're there to make money. I mean, whether that's a slot machine or a table or whatever, a poker table or a roulette, whatever you're playing, they're there to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So you can count on one hand how many times you won, but I bet you can count on all hands and feet and your partner's hands and feet how many times you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, taking that money and spending it towards something else, like you've suggested, the deficit, would certainly knock our deficit down a heck of a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you think of paying money directly down onto your mortgage. You put an extra $100 down on your mortgage that goes directly to principal, and you cut the time length of your mortgage dramatically. If they did that to the deficit and paid $2 billion directly down to the deficit, to the actual principal of the deficit, for example, $16 billion would be gone in 16.7, I guess, would be gone in just over 8 years.
Jeez.
It would actually absolutely disappear. Now, on top of all the efforts that the government's going to make to get it paid down by 2017 in Ontario, but of course that always remains to be seen whether you're talking provincially or federally, regardless of political party.
That's true. Derek, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Enjoyed reading your report on what the government should do with this money. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks.